Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 93 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the cookie-baking, tea-partaking cookie creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, putting the K in magic, and Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com or back on the description page for this episode back at Blog Talk Radio. And I say back at Blog Talk Radio because besides scheduling my show, I really don't listen to podcasts on Blog Talk Radio. I'm sorry. I know that makes me a bit of an ingrate because Blog Talk Radio is what makes this show possible. I do have gratitude for that. But I actually listen to podcast episodes regardless of where they come from on iTunes because it's super portable and convenient. And portable and convenient is the life for me. I love to just, like, load up my iPod, which is technically an old iPhone, but I call it my iPod now, and then just go. You know, I can work out. I can clean my house. I can go for a super long drive and listen to my favorite podcast. So I personally, I'm an iTunes kind of girl, and I like that you can go there. You can go subscribe to Hippie Witch, for example, on iTunes, and then every new episode, it sends you, so you don't miss anything, and I also think that that's awesome. Also, thank you so much to those of you who have left me reviews on iTunes, because, well, thank you, just because, that's nice, and I appreciate it, and it's really fun to get to read those, and I read them all, maybe more than once, when I need a little boost. But this is a free show, and I have no sponsors funding what I do here. So that's one super awesome way that you can contribute if you feel like it. Because when you leave me a review there, it affects the show's ranking on iTunes, which helps get it out to more people. So thank you, thank you, thank you for that. Mucho appreciated. And also, I am realizing now that I'm saying episode 93, that we are almost to 100 episodes. How cool is that? It just seems like a great number. 100. I've done 100 podcasts. I can't wait to say that. I guess I'm going to get to say that in February sometime. And I'd really like to do something special for the 100th episode, but I have no idea what that would be. So what do you think? What should we do for the 100th episode? And I say we because I think it would be really fun to make you a part of that in some way. I see in the show stats and the statistics for my episodes that people often try to call in during the shows. Maybe it's new people that don't know that this typically is not a call-in radio show. I'm sorry for that. I did do 2 call-in shows last year, but I don't know. Would that be fun? Do you want to come on and chat with me? And if so, what would we chat about? I really don't have any ideas about this. I know I want to do something special. I know I want you to be involved in some way. But beyond that, I don't know. You tell me. Leave me a comment on Twitter or Facebook or G+ or wherever it is you connect with me, and we'll see what we can come up with. I hope you have some groovy, exciting idea. I'll totally go for it. As for today's show, what did I call it? The Born Again Pagan with a question mark. Remember when I was saying about multiple times? If you follow me on Facebook especially, what I was saying about the universe or the Mac gods, whomever, somebody or something somewhere out there seemed to want me to take a break and to make sure that I got the message, they broke my computer, damn it. I just posted a video on Facebook talking about this, a very rambly, not fancy video. But the short story is that the 3 days, which is symbolic now that I think about it, I'll try to tie that into this show in a minute here, but the 3 days that I was without a computer before the new MacBook Air that my sister and her new husband bought me before that got here, I kind of felt like I had died and gone to heaven. I cannot even tell you how much I enjoyed those lazy, nap-taking, magazine-reading, TV-watching, sweatpants-wearing, no-internet days. It really was exactly what I needed on a deep soul level. And now, now that I have a brand new computer, I can finally see, okay, fine, maybe it was a blessing in disguise that this happened to me, which is really so annoying to hear when something bad happens, something goes wrong. I know people mean well when they say that, you know, like, oh, the universe is giving you a gift, or this is a blessing in disguise. I know they mean well because I mean well when I say that, and I do say it, but man, it is a bitter pill to swallow when you are in the midst of a crisis. This is not a blessing in disguise. It is a tragedy. My computer is dead. Anywho, should I repeat what I said in that video, that Facebook video? Or should I just assume that you saw it already? Okay, I will briefly, because I know not all of you follow me on Facebook, I will briefly reiterate my point here by saying that I so enjoyed that techie enforced hiatus that I've actually decided to extend it right on through to the new year. I think I even talked about that last week on the show. I did. I know I did. That was the theme of the show. But for me, this, I don't know, this really, the new year, I guess, when I think about that, for me now, since I've been following the year for a while, that really begins on the winter solstice. That really feels kind of like a new year to me. It's just like, bing, the very beginning, you know, and then you have like the couple weeks, how long, a week and a half, 2 weeks, a week and a half? I should have looked at my calendar before before you get to turn the page on your calendar and it's 2015. So it's kind of like a slow, like, build up, you know, to the big Happy New Year with the disco ball and the champagne and all of that, which I like now. And the winter solstice, you know, it's technically the birth of the Son of God, S-U-N, the Son of God, the life-giving light of the world. He has risen, which is why I was thinking about the born-again pagan, you know, and how Christians, remember last week I was saying about how it's really interesting to me to find connections to the Christianity I was brought up in, and I read that piece about the hangman being like a newborn baby coming out of its mother's womb back in the day when mothers actually squatted to have their babies, that I was calling it like the hangman and baby Jesus. I kind of liked that analogy. And just in keeping with that, thinking about the two times of year, Christmas and Easter, when Christians really focus on this idea of being born again, you know, and I guess just being a Christian is about being born again. And that's an interesting little metaphor, I think. And I, for one, you know, for example, when I first discovered astrotheology, which is so fascinating and fun, I love to learn about that. I kind of went through an evolution with how I felt about it, you know, and I see a lot of other people at this spot, like where I began when you first learn about astrotheology or paganism and how that ties in to this time of year with the solstice and Christmas and everything. At first you're like, ha, you fools, you're worshiping baby Jesus, but really it's all about the sun. Can't you see the sun, the 12 disciples, the three wise men? Don't you see? And you kind of have this like self-righteous, like, I knew it, you're all wrong kind of vibe. I see a lot of that on the internet, and I totally went through that. But then it kind of evolved for me, I want to say you come to appreciate it, but at least I came to appreciate the symbolism in the Son of God being born every year around the solstice, the birth of a new solar year, and how that is reflected in the birth of baby Jesus. And that has actually, at least in my own heart and mind, it's reconnected me to definitely not Christianity. I'm pretty sure I'm done with that in this life. But it's reconnected me to my Christian family in a deep and profound way. Not that I talk about this with them, but it's just from my own perspective. You know, I'm looking at them through new eyes and appreciating them. I can sing their Christmas carols. I can listen to them talk about baby Jesus without rolling my eyes. Because in a sense, they are right. I mean, they're not as right as they think they are, but they're damn close. When you consider astrotheology and what baby Jesus being born at Christmas time is really a symbol of. And I am convinced that some higher up members of clergy, that they're aware of these things. They're aware that, you know, the Jesus, baby Jesus story and being born in the manger and all that, that that's a metaphor. These things are just symbolic. I saw a picture recently, I think it was the Pope, I don't know, I'm not Catholic, so a lot of those guys with the big hats and the robes that kind of all just look like popes to me. So maybe it was some other member of clergy, but let's just say he was a pope. And he was holding this golden staff, and at the end of it was a giant sun. And I was like, okay, come on now. Why? If he's here to teach us about Jesus, wouldn't it be some sort of image of Jesus or the cross or something like that, which is technically, if you get into astrotheology, another symbol of the sun, but I won't get into all that right now. But, you know, and there's just all of this pagan symbolism built into those old ornate cathedrals. And so I just think some of them know. And it's just like this conspiracy when you get into like the higher upper echelons of Catholicism and the church and maybe the Protestants too. And I suppose that if that's true, and I'm saying it's true, I believe it, damn it. I suppose that if there are these people that have this knowledge and that don't take these stories literal, like higher up in the church, I suppose that they think that that information must be held in secret and is only for the few chosen ones. It must be protected from the masses, you know, lest we all devolve into a heap of what? Orgy throwing, debauching, anarchist heathens. I don't even know. But that they present these stories then, knowing what they know, as literal, it's kind of like they're treating the masses, that they're treating all of these grown-ass people with jobs and families and, you know, homes. They're treating them like children, like they can't handle the truth. And it does make sense to teach children about the wheel of the year, to teach them about astrotheology, to teach them about the rhythms of life, the patterns in nature, how those patterns are reflected within our own lives. It totally makes sense to teach them a story about baby Jesus. And it's a little morbid and I think a little bit crazy to teach kids about a man being beaten and bloody and dying on a cross. But yes, okay, that definitely sends a message. And then the resurrection, that is a powerful, you know, metaphor. That's powerful. It moves people. You can go into any church on Easter Sunday and see that people are crying and they are moved by this. So, yes, it makes sense to teach people this in the beginning. But then at what point, you know, do they advance into learning what that symbolism means? Because for me, knowing what it means, it gives it, it's empowering. It's empowering to understand, oh, I don't have to be saved by some force outside myself. I can save myself, and I can be reborn every year. I can be reborn every day, but I can take time, you know, every year, you know, to honor the birth of the returning sun, this orb of fire that we need to sustain life, I can take a moment and see how I feel about how that's being reflected in my own life and what that means for me. And I can start fresh for the year ahead. There's power in that to me. You know, if they taught us about baby Jesus, if they taught us about the life of Jesus and dying on the cross and all of that, and then later explained, okay, this was just a symbol, this was a metaphor, and this is what we were really trying to get at, for me, that wouldn't diminish the lessons, it wouldn't diminish the stories, it would just make them go deeper. Maybe that's just me. I don't know. I wrote an article for my friend Ashlyn's blog that I ended up reposting the following year on mine, called Paganism and Beyond, What About Jesus? I actually wrote that on Easter, but it totally applies to what I'm talking about today. It's very much to do with what I'm talking about. So, I don't know, you can Google that, Paganism and Beyond, What About Jesus? Maybe I'll get around to posting that link on Facebook later today. I'm not sure, but it exists if you want me. Actually, I say more eloquently there what I'm trying to say now, because I put a lot of thought into it, because I originally wrote it as a guest post, and, you know, I didn't want to be sloppy. I am a writer. I don't know if you know that about me, but I am a crazy perfectionist, so I actually am very proud of that article. I think it's very good. So 3 days, I was talking about those 3 days where I didn't have a computer. That is very symbolic when you think about the 3 days of darkness that we supposedly experience before the rebirth of the sun on the solstice, which is, yay, what everybody's, you know, has been celebrating back through however long, thousands of years, I suppose, maybe since the beginning of humanity, I don't know. But it seems like we're just in darkness, especially if you didn't have electricity and you were just going by the light of the stars and the moon, and then all of a sudden, you know, oh, the days are growing longer. That must have been very exciting. But I think the symbolism of those three dark days is very interesting. It's interesting that I had those 3 days without being connected to the light of the internet and my business and my friends. I have excellent, beautiful, lovely friends that I consider real friends that I connect with most of the time through my computer. But I thought that was such interesting bit of symbolism there. But also I think that this year for me, it's going to be more like 3 weeks, because I was saying, you know, I'm just going to continue on with this hiatus and stay in this place of not planning and not knowing. I'm going to be doing a lot less social media. I put the Book Nerd Weekly posts on hiatus until January. And I'm just going to take a break. Oh, my God. And all of a sudden, I have a tangent popping into my head, and I feel the urge to say it, because I tend to, like, I'm like a spoiled child. I let my tangents go. I let them do what they want. But I have to say, my son's last day of school, which is technically not school, but a kind of transition to adulthood program. Anyway, his last day of that is this Thursday, the 18th. And then get this. He does not go back until January 13th. That is blowing my mind. That's almost a whole month. It might even be when you add in the weekends of him being here with me. And if you're new to the show, I'll just tell you, my son has autism, and I am his primary caretaker. I do everything for that kid, and I love and adore him, and he is a sweetheart and very well behaved, but it does take time, so it's going to be interesting trying to get things done for myself and him for like an entire month. He's going to be here, so that should be interesting. And anyway, what was my original point? I don't even know. Oh, the 3 days of darkness before the sun is born again on the winter solstice, and we have a brand new solar year. And in a sense, even as pagans who are going to hell, we get to be born again, at least while we still are here on this planet. And I think that's a beautiful thing. I also think that this last week, or the 3 days of darkness, if you want to do this, it's a great time to tie up any shadow work or releasing that you may have started back on Samhain, Halloween, what I like to call winter transition. it's kind of like that time of the dark moon. It's just a really neat time to do some releasing and to let the, you know, 2014, just let it go. It is what it is. What happened, happened. There's nothing you can do to change it now, for better or worse. Your 2014 has happened, so that's a great time to just let it go. I think shadow work, again, like bring that back into your rituals maybe, or any releasing that you might want to do around that time. And then just, or to just spend those 3 days or longer just being in the nothingness, the not knowingness, as in having no plans, no resolutions, until the solstice, which is, of course, then the perfect time to do a ritual, to welcome in the new year. And the inspiration that is so innate in that is an illuminating time, which is why I think we light up our Christmas trees and there's twinkle lights, everything, you know, everywhere. It's so beautiful, too, that we get to have the solstice and then the, you know, Christmas, if you want to celebrate both, is a few days later. It's like building energy, building, 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 till you get to turn that page on the calendar and we hit 2015. It's a time of illumination, which is why the Crafty Witch Project for the Winter Solstice module, that's why I called it the Illumination of Emotion, and why I am urging you now, if you're doing the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year with me, see if you can carve out a bit of time on or around the winter solstice or the new moon, which is conveniently coming in tandem with that this year. See if you can make a window of space in your, you know, holiday festivities to do that Crafty Witch project. I for sure am going to do that. And I'm all kinds of excited about it this year. I'm going to make a whole ritual out of doing that Crafty Witch project. And really, this might be the most that I've looked forward to crafting a ritual in a very long time. I am super excited about this. And it's a simple ritual, but for my money, and I mean that quite literally, for my money, my bank account, my wallet, simple is best. And all joking aside, that is just what speaks to me on a soul level as well. I don't need to call in the quarters in the four quarters in a, you know, in a robe, in a circle of salt, in front of an elaborately appointed altar with an athame in one hand and a chalice in the other to get something out of a ritual. Sometimes doing something as simple as lighting a candle in the dark, which obviously is appropriate for this time of year, or letting a feather go in the wind, or a dead leaf go, you know, down a river, that can be even more powerful than something really elaborate. It really just depends on your intention. And after that, I suppose, you know, your personal preference. If you're a ceremonial magician, then I say do it up. Go to town. Knock yourself out. Go crazy. Gild it up Trump style. But if you're a simple cottage witch, you know, just throw a pinch of salt over your shoulder and call it a day. Whatever is clever, whatever works for you. It's all good, you know, and we're all so different, and I love that. This show is just about me sharing my one perspective. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just sharing. Also, if you have been curious about the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year, but, like, you feel like, I don't know, like, there's this group of people, and they already exist, and where are they, and are they in the middle of doing this module, do not be shy. You're not missing anything. You can hop on any time because the modules themselves, they're something that you do. You can do them in one afternoon, and you get to decide what afternoon that is. Or you can take your time and spread that workout for a few weeks, as many people do. It's entirely up to you. It's a self-study course, and it's meant to be interactive. You know, there's little assignments and journal prompts and that Crafty Witch project I was talking about. And for me, the best part is I say this all the time. I've said it now a bajillion times. It's the group. But it's true because, you know, I have a little private group on Facebook where we can speak privately. It's not public, and people feel more free to let their hair down, and it's just a place to share, even though it's a self-study course, even though you're doing the rituals and the journal prompts alone at home on your own time, it's cool to be able to come back and share it with the group. And it is a truly awesome group of people, and I 100% guarantee that they will immediately make you feel welcome and like you have missed nothing, because you haven't. The wheel just keeps on turning, and we're all just there, you know, sharing our experiences as traveling companions. There are no tests beyond the ones life wants to throw your way. Anyway, and you can just email me if you have any questions about that. I won't take up any more time on the show. If you want to email me, I'm easy to find. I'm at joannadeveaux@gmail.com. I read all my emails, and, of course, I am all over social media. And speaking of social media, I was thinking of a couple people I know on Facebook this morning, actually, when I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about today. I was thinking about, you know, just life, when something dies in your life, whether you want it to or not, or when you go through a really hard time, and then how it's up to you how you're going to respond to that and how soon you're going to be able to be born again. And, you know, I'm getting off track again. And whenever I look at the clock and I see I only have a few minutes, I get kind of like, oh, flustered, rush it in. I wanted to talk about these couple of people. One, her name is Erica. And she had a really bad cancer scare and a divorce recently, and she's got little kids. And some people, if that happened to them, would lose it. They would lose their motivation, or they would, you know, devolve into some sort of pity party, which you're fully entitled to for a moment, but not when you're the mom of little kids. And Erica knows this. And what does she do? She goes full steam ahead, living her life. She signs up for ballet classes with her little girl, which I can't even talk about without getting choked up, because every time I see a picture of Erica dressed up, you know, smiling in a pose with her ballet shoes on in a ballet studio, I'm just like, fuck yes, go, woman. And that, to me, is a symbol of somebody, like, rising from the dead and being born again and really, like, going there and living that. There's a guy named J.R. I don't know how old J.R. is, because he has a big, hermit beard. Total sweetheart. He looks like a really tough, cool dude when you first see a picture of him, and then you get to know him, and he's a mushball with a ginormous heart. And, you know, he went through some rough things this year, and trying to sell his house, for example, you know, and the ups and downs of that. And then he bought himself an RV, which he just got, and he's going to hit the road, and he's leaving behind life as he knows it, and he's giving himself this rebirth. He's being born again. He's going to be a road warrior in an RV. I find that extremely inspiring. So those are just like two real life, real people that, to me, embody this idea of being born again, you know, outside religious symbolism. There are people all the time that are doing this. And a really weird reference that also popped into my head was from the movie Death Becomes Her. And Ernest, the character that Bruce Willis plays, you know, that guy's just a mess. And he's being pushed around by these two women who are so vain and egotistical that they literally refuse to die. And he almost loses his own life trying to keep up with them. And he lets his association with those people die, and then experiences a kind of rebirth that finds him really living his life. And so when he does finally leave this earthly plane, he does so surrounded by, you know, tons of loving people, and they're honoring the life that he really, really lived in the second part of his existence. And while those, you know, who refused to die, they just go on in their mystery. So let 2014 die and be reborn on the winter solstice or Christmas or New Year or however you want to look at it. Start fresh. You know, I love that symbolism. I think I got this all in. 10 seconds. Holy cow. What else? I don't know. Until we meet again. Much love, peace, and a very blessed solstice to you.